Welcome back to Podtacular, episode 238 for October 14th, 2010. This is our last part of a three-part series discussing the Halo Reach campaign titled Remember Reach. I am Deathstorm, here again with our previous cast of Brent, Keat, Siamir, and Midget Dance for our final campaign show, general campaign show. We're still going to do like walkthroughs later, but this is our overall storyboard, and this time we're going to be talking about your submissions. But first, how has the brief interruption between podcasting gone for you guys so far?
Good.
Over the past 24 hours.
Oh, all right. I'm surprised I'm kind of awake right now.
Wasn't there some big news that came out today?
What do you mean?
Not at all.
I don't know. Possibly some DLC provided by Bungie. I don't know. Ring a bell?
Oh, Marathon.
No, not quite.
I think it's too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, we need to tell people what we're talking about first. Map packs.
We're talking about
map packs.
Global map pack.
Map pack.
With three new maps.
That should have come with the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've already kind of seen the maps too. A little bit. I don't know.
These don't seem as prominently placed in campaign as you...
Well, that one takes place on that orbital platform.
Well, Anchor 9, but you never go in Anchor 9, so you don't know really what it's like.
Yeah, but you're still there.
Snow level.
Yes, you're there for two out of... I don't even know what a
breakpoint is. I'm just saying you still kind of see it in the campaign,
yeah,
regardless of whether or not you went to the interior. I'm saying,
I don't know. For me, the ones that it shipped with are blatantly obvious. You can tell where they are from in the campaign. Like, you played them in the campaign.
Yeah. From the campaign.
All of you can. They did that on purpose. They wanted
but these
multiplayer environments to be there.
These weren't.
No, those weren't.
These new ones.
They're like, completely new.
Yeah. You didn't play on these in any part of the campaign.
Well, the only one is Forge World, which actually takes place on a Halo. This other one, this one of them looks like it takes place on a Halo also. The
Tempest.
So I think we're going to see a pattern of that going forward.
I mean, it's just a cool architecture to play on, though, if you think about it.
Game's called Halo. Got to have Halos.
Yep.
Let's talk about these three new maps briefly before we start to get to submissions. So there's three maps. First one's called Anchor 9, which takes place on the space battle platform when you play the mission Long Night of Solace on the on Anchor 9, of course, hence the name, which you never actually go into, but it's the same orbital platform that you temporarily dock, right?
Is it?
I think it is.
I think so. Yeah, Anchor 9.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I wasn't sure the name of what you dock with or what we even defending. I can't even remember. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, this is interior of of that orbital platform, and it's not space battle, unfortunately. But
that would have been awesome.
It's like orbital in the sense that it's in outer space, but there's nothing else that's related to orbital really.
I just noticed. I don't know if you were going to mention this, but it looks like in this we go outside on this map.
See, I can't tell if you do or not from the screens that were provided.
The one screen is one screen.
You're talking about the second one, right?
Yes. You look in there, blow it up, you know, plus it up.
Oh wait, there is a guy outside.
See a Spartan right outside?
Yeah.
He's outside, so maybe
more
zero G or low G. Gravity play in this in this map.
Oh boy!
I mean the update
off that.
Or the press release also says whether the close quarters combat is occurring inside or out of its artificial gravitational field. So.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
That'd be pretty fun.
In one of the pictures, you can kind of see a shield too.
And if you look there, look how high that jump is. If you see how high that is, it'd be impossible to get up there without that low gravity.
Right.
So that'll be really cool.
Now I'm really pumped.
Be like owning noobs in zero or low G.
Low G.
That'll be our new route. Literally low or zero G. What?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you think about it, I mean, it,
the outside.
If it's outside of the artificial gravitational field, it'd be completely zero G.
But you still have the Spartan running on the platform there.
It would be like it was in Corvette?
Yeah, the Corvette one. It's not Corvette.
Zealot.
Yeah,
Zealot, like when you go up there.
But it's on the Corvette.
Still a little bit of G's because there's a huge item in space, so it has a little bit of G's. I don't know.
I think it'll have this like the same low gravity effect. I still don't think it'll be zero G though.
I can't be zero G. That would be a whole different type of gameplay altogether.
Yeah. I mean, like the second you walk out, you start floating off the platform. And you can't stop yourself.
That's a whole different mechanic. That wasn't
definitely
even
lower gravity. Definitely lower gravity.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. Now I'm really pumped. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah.
But it looks like there's two sides, somewhat symmetrical in appearance. I'm trying to look at the three different screenshots and get a glimpse of it, but they really don't give too much detail.
Still
looks pretty cool though.
To veer off topic, but not really, it's been exactly a month since Reach was released. Woohoo.
Yeah, it has.
You're like all about anniversaries. Every day there's some new anniversary. No, it's been 4 years since our first Halloween special.
Oh, it's been a month since I started Halo Reach Tricks. Oh,
oh Billy.
Memories. the memories.
1 month anniversaries are meaningless. 1 year is an anniversary. So it's an anniversary. It's annual.
Actually, it's Annie, but okay.
It's Annie, Anna, Mana, Banana.
Animaniacs.
I love that show. Dude, Fingerprints. I don't think so.
The Yakko, Wacko, and Dot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So our next map in the lineup is Tempest, which is the Forerunner / Halo map.
Welcome to Halo.
Lots of artistic design in here.
A lot of Forerunner stuff in the background. It's like a Forerunner city.
Do you like sand?
Yeah.
Do you like trees?
Do you like Forerunner?
Do you like trees jutting out of sand?
Do you like trees that produce sand?
I like that little Forerunner beam. I kind of miss those. I'm glad that's
I wonder what happens if you actually try to fly through it. I bet you die.
That'd be cool.
Is it constantly fired, or is it, you know, like it shoots every now and then like the other?
For some reason, this reminds me of Relic. Somewhat.
Maybe visually. Yeah,
a little bit.
I mean, Spire, the layout's kind of different. Visually, I see what you're saying. You know, it's got the big Forerunner structure. There's a lot of sand. It's kind of next to the ocean.
Has the little building to the...
Is this a Halo?
I think it's on Halo.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think it would be.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Forerunner structure.
No, wait a second.
You can see
like
that
it's on the Ark.
It doesn't necessarily
have
to be.
I don't see an Ark.
It looks like it's on the Ark or something.
Well, I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see... Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
This might just be a Forerunner planet.
Look at the second to bottom picture.
Well, a Forerunner planet would be
look
a
at,
first.
Look at the second to bottom picture and look on the right in the background and see what you think that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking.
Mountain?
It looks mountain, yeah.
Oh, I figured it out. It's High Charity.
No. On the right, not the left. On the right.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Yeah, I see.
Like
it's like a wall.
Thingy, thingamajiggy.
Yeah,
it's like a wall.
Yeah.
And then in the first one, if you look, there's that wall there too.
Yeah.
Damn it!
Could be, yeah.
So very close.
It looks like a little Forerunner city on there, doesn't it? With all the different Forerunner buildings. And it looks like that laser, it looks like it's constantly firing side to side, but it's not always firing up.
What do you mean firing up?
It fires up in one of the screenshots.
Oh, I see.
Like,
oh,
it goes
right
in there, then it goes up.
Okay.
This has got to be a Halo. I'm thinking this is a Halo.
You think it's... Mm,
it's got such a Halo
what's
look.
A wall? Like, I'm looking at the screenshots, and there's no indication of a up kind of structure anywhere. A curve up kind of structure.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, and they might not have shot the screenshots in a way that would have shown it.
From all the screenshots I'm looking at, there should have been at least... Well,
but you don't
I
really
guess,
get, a,
I guess
don't get a good look at the forward, at the very front of that
that's
major
true
structure.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's cloudy too.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
We'll have to see. They'll probably say what it is in the description at some point when they're teasing them.
We will. We can definitely. They will definitely. They always make these maps with a somewhere we have information on where it's from, and it has a history.
Yeah. We'll find out. We're like the only people that care about this. You know that, right? Only people discussing this.
Not the only, but
hey, that's why we're part of select few. That's like why we're podcasting.
He saw this news and he's like, "This is the land in which I shall pwn." Like he didn't care about Halo or what.
He's like, "I'm going to."
Yeah, but that's I'm what makes this podcastular.
Here, I'm gonna put my, I'm gonna take my shotgun and my sniper and sit over here and pwn.
So the last map on the rotation is Breakpoint, which is, to me, it's inspired by the where Dr. Halsey is in the lab on the second to last level, which looks like...
Yeah.
Whatever gave you that idea?
I don't know. Maybe the...
everything?
Base.
Flavor text.
Structure.
This is an invasion map.
Yeah.
I wonder if that building will have the map or have the name on it, like the octopus building or something, because of all the tentacles on it.
Octopi.
Yeah, this is invasion. Huh. Interesting.
Why would it be an octopi?
I'm going to start calling that area Medusa.
Yeah, that'd be a good name for that building. Get to the Medusa building.
Get to Medusa, Herbert.
Get to Medusa and die quickly, noble team.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Waterworks from Halo 2. I don't know why. I guess it's just the big open kind of cavernous thing going on.
Yeah. You know what? There's this one image with the it's outdoors actually though.
Yeah, it's outdoors, but it's like built near. It's like on the mountain that Halsey's in or whatever.
I guess.
Well, it almost looks like it's that, but one of the sides got exposed.
Is that a MAC cannon or something? What is that big structure?
That's a Forerunner structure.
It is? It looks UNSC. Or so that's the Forerunner structure, and they're like siphoning data out of it into their building or something?
Yeah, I guess that's definitely
transmission lines, I think.
That's an Oni archaeological site where they're, you know.
Oh, okay, I see what you're talking about now.
It's
probably
part of the same structure that you get in a campaign, you know. It's a piece of that or part of it, maybe the part sticking out, who knows. Kung Fu Treachery.
But yes, these three maps will be available on November 30th.
For the low, low price of $30. I bet they can charge that. $10. People still buy it.
$10.
What do you bet it's 15?
It says 800 Microsoft points.
800? Oh, did it say 800?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it didn't say it. Okay.
No, it says that.
That's good, actually. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, maybe they saw what Activision did.
You think
did.
They would pull a Call of Duty stuff
that's
like
what
that.
I'm saying. But everybody bought those maps.
I didn't.
Well, I mean, not us, but I'm saying the 420 kids did. And the 420 kids are many. They are. There is a multitude of those guys.
Bungie wouldn't do something like that, though.
No, I'm just saying. Sometimes it's not Bungie. Bungie wouldn't charge $60 for ODST either, but look
it's
what happened.
It's not up to Bungie. That was
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
Ubisoft.
That's in line. It's in line with their usual charges.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's what the Halo 3 map packs cost, wouldn't it?
And there's 10 new achievements as well.
That's cool. What are the achievements?
I don't know.
No, not yet.
No.
Okay.
It was 2 weeks. So you know, Halo 3 got its first map pack on December 11th. So this is an early map pack.
This is an early map.
Earlier. Just a couple weeks, but
the DLC map achievements always bother me for some reason. Like it changes the way I have to play the game, and this is kind of just like frustrating to get them. It's always like when it like on Construct when that came out, it was like get 10 shotgun kills on Construct.
I still haven't gotten those, by the way.
Yeah, they're just annoying.
But they were
I wish
easy
they would make
though.
Them more generalized.
I haven't gotten them. I haven't gotten them.
If I got them, then they're pretty easy. I'll tell you that right now.
I guess that's just not the way I want to play the game. It's not a thing of difficulty. It's just a thing of, like, this isn't how I want to play this game. Like, if I'm playing the new maps, I don't want to have to be bothered with thinking about, well, there's a shotgun. Maybe I'll go for the achievement. Or maybe that guy next to me is not going to play on my team and try to get all the kills with, you know, the DMR like a sensible person. He's just going to play around with the shotgun and we're going to lose the match, you know?
Right.
Stuff like that.
Well, that's another part of designing achievements. As long as they design achievements where it doesn't promote, like, gameplay where, you know, frustrating gameplay where you got to worry about one guy not playing as a team or playing, you know, it just...
Yep.
Yeah. But it
just gets even worse when you make it even more, like targeted. Like, you have to get 10 shotgun kills, but you have to do it on this map, all right?
Yes.
So, I mean, it gives you more incentive to kind of go off and do that achievement when you get that map.
Yeah, they did that already on... in this game, there was the one... Or no, a challenge. One of the challenges is play firefight different. Matchmaking without dying in the first round. Or without dying. So it just makes people want to sit there and do nothing.
Yeah.
Is that a challenge or an achievement?
That's a challenge.
It's not that hard, though. That's not that hard, though.
It just sucks, though, if you go in a game and everyone's just sitting there.
Well, challenges...
You just go and do your own. Just do a score attack on your own. And
challenge is different in general. Like... Even if it's matchmaking, though, it's different.
You don't like Gruntpocalypse?
Do that for a day.
No, I find it hard to stay alive in Gruntpocalypse, even. Oh, I mean, you get those grunts, you know, running at you with, you know...
Well, you have to play on the right maps.
But even that's kind of like a hassle, you know? It's like, well, I have to choose this map and do it. The challenges are fine. The challenges are okay because they change each day. It's take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people just choose to leave it.
I thought it was an achievement when I started saying it. I was like, oh, wait, no, that was a challenge.
I always felt that achievements should be... Like, sometimes you'll go for them, certain ones, maybe campaign ones. But matchmaking ones should be... Nothing that should change your gameplay that much. Or have people annoyingly running around trying to do, you know, the achievement and not playing, you know, a multiplayer match. You know, a challenge. You know, some people like, this guy's obviously just trying to get the 2-for-1. You know, all he does is keep running for the laser. I'm talking about Halo 3, obviously.
But. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you see that guy just won't do that. And he's at the bottom of the list. He's got all the laser kills, but he's got nothing. So you got that guy doing that all the time. Fine. It could be helpful for you, but it still doesn't make everybody play like it's a regular matchmaking game.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with that.
When I'm focusing on challenges and stuff, I usually try to keep it in Rumble Pit so that I don't, you know, mess anyone's game up. Because if I know I have to get like 20 shotgun kills that day, there's a possibility I could screw someone's, you know, Team Slayer matchup. So I just try to keep it in Rumble Pit. I do the same thing with achievements. But,
I don't know, of all the ones recently, if you're asking for kills, I just do SWAT.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Because I'm typically up there.
Whatever, if you do anything that you have to, like, get killed a lot in order to get, like, you sacrifice yourself and you're playing a team game, I don't want to play with you. Sorry. Like, I gotta keep running for the shotgun.
Sorry, guy.
Sorry.
So you play to win.
I agree with the achievements for the map pack thing, but we, you know, we haven't even seen them. Hopefully they're...
Reasonable?
Yeah.
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 I guess we'll find out in a month and a half.
So anyone know if there's going to be new Avatar awards or anything for it?
I know. They seem to have had enough already. I don't know why they would add more.
I think they will because to sell these map packs, they always got to add some little incentives in there. That's what the achievements are for.
I don't think they do.
Oh, yeah. The achievements? Because they didn't start adding achievements to the map packs until...
The first map pack for Halo 3 didn't have extra achievements, did it?
Did it?
I don't think so. The heroic map pack? I don't think it did.
Heroic was the first map pack, Halo 3. I don't think it did. I think you're right. Legendary definitely did.
Yeah, Legendary did.
Yeah, Heroic did not. Legendary did.
And then the two Mythic ones. Well, just Mythic as a whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Except the Legendary one came with 3 months Bungie Pro and a gamer pick.
God, I'm still holding out for that Headlong remake. But I don't think I'm going to get it.
Headlong. That's
the one. If I do get it, it's going to be from 343i, and it's not going to be as good.
Is Headlong that one that had that really tall building on it?
It had a few tall buildings on it.
Google Mombasa.
There was a bridge that was suspended in the air with a crane.
Oh, that's right, that one.
Warthog up there. There was one.
Oh,
major.
Yeah, I remember that one now. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah,
it was great. That's my favorite Halo 2 map.
I don't know if they would make that now because it's kind of
one flag CTF
small for Halo, but I hope they do.
It's not that small. It's pretty big.
That's a big map.
It's a big map.
Oh yeah, now I remember. Yeah, there's like that inside area too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should
be really cool now with jetpacks and stuff.
That map was really popular for Halo 2.
Maybe they're already thinking about it. No?
I'm waiting for, remake? A nice turf. Not turf.
I was thinking terminal.
Terminal.
Yeah. You and I were thinking the same thing. Yeah.
That's the one with the train?
Yes.
Or containment.
I love that one.
Something like containment would be cool. I think. I like containment.
I would probably say that I play more games on terminal than on Halo 2 than any other.
Well, yeah. Because you had Oddball and CTF on there, which are just.
Great, it's a great single objective map.
They don't make really any environment stuff that can kill you much anymore, except for like fusion coils. Like the trains from Terminal, that was just an epic win on Bungie's part for adding that in there. And there's no more switch to activate or open and close gates in Reach. Like, I wish in Forge World that they had the option to, like, put a switch on something that would, like, spawn something else, or...
That would have been cool, because there was a glitch where you could do that in Halo 3. Maybe it works still. Who knows?
A glitch or a mod?
No, a glitch where you could, like, make switches. It was like,
the forging switch. Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, it's not as good, but it was something at least.
I mean, like an actual, like, button switch where the game actually goes through and does something, not something.
That would be really cool. You can do that in Minecraft. Yeah. They need a system like that where you draw the line on the ground or, you know, what you want to work, and then it works. That'd be cool.
It'd be cool if Bungie did something like they did with Halo CE. And have, like, a user community base to try to develop maps, and if they can, like, approve it or something. Or almost something like what Valve does with TF2.
They kind of do it with how they put, like, user maps into matchmaking in Halo 3.
No, I don't mean,
yeah, I
don't mean like, forged maps. I mean, like, actual... Yeah.
Like, ones that people make.
Yeah. Because there's a community out there that is definitely well-versed. If you look at the custom edition community... If they were given access to that for Halo 3 and Halo Reach, they would jump on it like crazy. There are lots of talented people in there.
Yeah.
But to the main part of the show, where we will read your guys' submissions that we have been putting off for the last 2 weeks because we've been ranting about the campaign.
So excited.
Yay.
We've built this up so much.
I know. We're finally doing it. Part 3 will conclude our campaign discussion until we move on to the matchmaking multiplayer aspect that will come next week. But let's begin with Farmer Elmo. He writes in, "Hey guys, Farmer Elmo here, sending in this submission from Great Britain. Sorry for not submitting anything recently, but exams got in the way. Anyway, here are my tips for the campaign. On Legendary, fire in short bursts, popping out of cover when firing, Magnum and Plasma Pistol works well. Concussion Rifle on Legendary sucks." I think it sucks in general, but anyways.
Yeah, it's not a very good weapon.
Like the worst thing ever.
Like, has no blast radius at all.
I don't know, it can be kind of useful in multiplayer if you use it right, but...
What the hell is its purpose?
It's like a brute shot.
Yeah.
But all it does is, like, just knock people out of the way.
Yeah.
Like the brute shot, in a way. I mean, you gotta hit something.
Although, when Covenant uses it against you in campaign, if it hits you dead, if it hits you straight on, you're dead.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. Depends anyway, he goes on the... He finishes off, "Keep on fragging dim trucks."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, some of the weapon stuff in, that they put in there kind of sucks. Oh, no, I don't pick up the plasma rifle or plasma repeater that much either. Have you guys used those?
Is it the same thing? What is the difference?
The plasma rifle is still, like, it'll consistently fire until it overheats and then it'll cool off, where the plasma repeater, it starts off really fast and starts getting slower as it heats. And you can keep on firing it, but the hotter it gets, the slower the rate of fire is.
I don't see why that needed to be a separate weapon. Why they couldn't.
No, trust me, the plasma rifle is much more powerful now on its own. The plasma repeater is like, awful compared to the plasma rifle. But it's just kind of like the alternative to the assault rifle. It's basically the Covenant human assault rifle. Like, the Covenant said, hey, man, you know this thing that the humans have that's not really powerful, but it shoots a whole bunch of bullets, you know, constantly? And we're going to do that, even though we have this plasma rifle. Kind of does the same thing. Trust me, there's differences in damages.
I thought the plasma rifle was more like the AR.
No. Plasma repeater is more like the AR. Plasma rifle is much
more powerful. I mean was, as in previous games.
Yeah, in previous games it was. But then they saw that there were massive differences. Like, first of all, the plasma rifle shoots a lot slower, and it shoots in, like, big bursts.
Yeah,
like, you get one
drains.
Big glob of plasma that shoots off, you know, every now and then. Whereas with the bullets, you just get a constant stream. And the bullets are hit-scan now for humans. So it gave an even bigger advantage to the AR. So they had to have something that the Covenant could have that would shoot fast and constantly. I'm pretty sure the plasma repeater shoots the plasma faster than the plasma rifle does, too.
At the
start,
yes. It
gets to its destination faster. No, I mean just in terms of, like, bullet speed.
Oh, and speed?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay.
I think.
Maybe.
I don't know which one I'm holding.
Yeah, the plasma repeater is the one where you can hit reload and it'll instantly cool off.
Yeah, it just cools down. But you could shoot that thing forever, it just goes really slow after a while.
Yeah, it goes like at 3 shots a second.
Yeah.
Although I have gotten taken out with someone shooting me just with that. And like it gets to the very end of the heat, and I'm running away, and that last shot gets me right before I'm about to make a turn. It's like, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
I really don't use any of those plasma weapons anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
The only Covenant
like
weapons
when I have to.
The only Covenant weapons that I've found that I've used is the fuel rod and the needle rifle.
Needle rifle's fun. Sometimes I use the regular needler, but not a whole lot.
Sometimes I do. Plasma
it's just not good situations where I'm going up against multiple people. Like, one-on-one needler's great. But if I'm taking on two or three guys, like, I need to toss a nade and then just shoot them in the head with the DMR.
Yeah.
Or
just five-shot them with the DMR.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Not in a situation where there's multiple people. You want to get the jump on,
right,
you need to
right.
get damage yeah. in with grenades.
Right. Well, yeah, if there's multiple people, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
Needler is fine.
Yeah,
yeah,
noob combo with plasma pistol.
Yeah.
Noob combo with a pistol.
Yeah.
Can't believe the plasma pistol is like actually useful again.
It is.
It's just amazing.
Even not even like charged up, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just like I find it on the ground now and I'm not like, oh, look, a plasma pistol. It's like, oh, look, a plasma pistol. Sweet.
The plasma rifle is still not good.
The rifle?
It's
almost like you can use the plasma pistol just about as efficiently as the plasma rifle. If you can pull the trigger fast.
Yeah.
Without clenching your controller and losing accuracy.
Clench
protection. But yeah, we'll talk about more of these hopefully in the multiplayer show aspect.
Yeah.
Who wants to read the next one?
That's a really long one, so I would
yeah,
like
that to. That is long.
I will take
All
the
right.
one after that.
I'll do it.
Go ahead, Derp.
Unless you want to take it, Keith, you can do it. If you want
I'll take
to.
One,
just...
I'll take one for the team. I always throw Brent under the bus.
I can do it, too. I mean, I'm used to reading these long submissions.
I know, and you're good at it. And
no, I'm not good at it. I'm awful. I have, like, zero lung capacity. Like, near the end of my...
You do okay. You do okay.
I think you do awesome. But all right. I'm going to do this one. Okay. Hey, my Podtacularian brothers. How are you all on this fine day? Hopefully, Gene Nubbis will be back and grace us with his soothing voice. Kind of a random question, but what is your current rank in Halo Reach? I'm a captain, but I guarantee I will be at least a captain grade 2 by the time you read this. Alrighty. You may have seen a recent post made by me on the forums on how I really do not like the campaign. I've revised some of my statements due to further playthroughs. I think that the enemy is pretty smart, but not insanely smart, as some people are saying. I played through on solo legendary, as I was able to beat them. The only reason that they were hard to beat is that their shields are up like crazy. It took 3 plasma pistol EMP shots to take out the shields. That doesn't make for interesting gameplay, just frustrating gameplay. But hey, it's legendary. The friendly AI is the worst it's been in any game. The Marines are absolutely retarded. Has anyone put a Marine on the Rocket Hog? If you have, you realize how stupid the AI is. One guy launched 6 rockets at one grunt and didn't kill him. What a load of aged grunt semen. There was even a time on the beachhead mission where a random Marine got on a mongoose with no gunner and would randomly come out and run over me. At first I thought, okay, just a simple mistake. Then he came five minutes later and killed me. Come on. Wow. I also think that the AI is secretly out to kill me. When I walk in a room, an elite is just chilling next to a Marine. They're not attacking each other. They're just standing there. Then, as soon as I walk in, the elite goes crazy, and the Marine just looks the other way and goes, ah, whatever, brah. The Spartan AI isn't any better. All the Spartans are just Marines that can't die. They are super, capital S-U-P-E-R, soldiers. The Y needs to be a little bit smarter. But at the same time, I don't understand that. But at the same time, I realize we can't have AI doing all the work. Ooh, I like this guy. We need to find a nice balance. Most of the characters don't have depth. You don't have to make a connection with them. Carter was a douche.
I agree.
Yeah.
He was bland and had no real personality. Cat was completely obnoxious, and to be honest, I can't understand a word she says over my comms. I mean, this is 2552. Can we have some HD sound in our heads? George died off too quick. I'm sorry, I gotta laugh at that. Because I think about that often when I hear the comms.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, it's flashy still. Like, wait a second. Yeah, you know. Alright, George died off too quickly for me to really make it. Sorry. That's too funny.
It's like really in the future, you still do the every time.
Well, it's radio.
George died off too quickly for me to really make a connection. Emil was the only person that really made a connection with and was sad when he died. I liked him because of the unspoken respect that your character had for him and vice versa. I feel like Emil and Noble Six had sort of a friendship in a way because they are both killing machines. Noble 4 has been known to state that he doesn't really care about who wins the war, just that he gets a kill. He says that, but when he fires the MAC guns, he screams that the names of his fallen team members and yells about the hate of the Covenant. Emil went out fighting and still killed someone, even with the sword jammed through his stomach. Noble 6 is a hyper-lethal, and most about him is classified due to his violent nature. He kills a lot and likes it. He too cares about humanity, and when he decided to stay and fire the MAC to destroy the Covey cruiser, he also went out fighting, basically destroying 6 elites before he went off and looking badass in the process. Am I the only one who sees that everyone on Noble is a racial stereotype.
Yeah, John, we've noticed that before.
Yeah, you got to cover the grounds.
Yep.
John is a sniper and has to be a sniper. You need to be super smart. John is Asian. Emil is a violent person who loves to kill. Emil is black. I don't know how he knows that.
What?
Yeah.
So basically, they're not racial stereotypes until he stereotypes them.
Right. Right. That this
why do you need to be super smart to be a sniper? I don't get that.
Yeah, like, what is that all about? Like,
it's being called,
able to aim well.
Well, this is called the statement, you're part of the problem. This guy is part of the problem. This is why people stereotype. Carter is a dull and boring person with no real personality or style. He's also the leader of Noble. Carter is white. So a dull and boring person is a white person?
With no style?
Cat is a dominating personality who sometimes forces people to do things they don't want to do. Cat is female. I'm sorry, no. Cat is Russian. This is insane. All right, Potacula. Thanks for having your podcast and hosting a great community. Keep on fragging those noobs who play SWAT snipers in the Team Slayer playlist.
Did he just insult SWAT?
I don't know.
He insulted a lot of races.
It seems like he did that too. Which I enjoy SWAT. Thank you very much.
Yeah, SWAT's the best. Sniper sucks. But whatever.
Well, apparently I'm just not Asian enough to play snipers.
Hey, let's tape our eyes up. And then this guy will be happy.
Oh, don't even go. This is a little disturbing. It's typical, though. It's typical of, first of all, you know, they put the different races, obviously, to,
reach out to everyone.
Oni is an equal opportunity employer.
everyone has someone to relate to in the game.
Yes.
I would like to retort a comment that he made in his post. Up early on, it took him 3 plasma pistol EMP shots to take out shields. That's not true. You can still take him out in 1 EMP shot.
What, in legendary, you mean? Or
yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
I do it all the time.
Takes 3 if you miss 2 times.
Well, yes, if you miss 2 times.
He's talking from his arse.
I mean, yeah, they can dodge. They know how to dodge. But when you hit them, their shields are down. Unless you have Mythic, which doubles their health, then you have to do 2 of them. But
how does he know Emil's black?
The voice actor is black. Yeah, so he assumes because the voice actor is black, Emil is black?
Yeah, that's the assumption.
And then I just can't get past, to be a sniper, you need to be super smart. And then
you kind of do. I mean, you have to be super smart, but then he, stereotypes Asians.
But then after
like,
that,
I have questions with, snipers being smart. You have to be a sniper. Like, a real sniper? Like, a real sniper in the military does more than just shoot fools in the head. It goes way beyond that. They go into, stuff geographical, cartography and where they'll have, a piece of paper, and they just have to chart out the, topography of the...
Right, you have to calculate your bullet flight trajectory.
And also, they got to calculate the wind speed these other...
Temperature.
Even gravity.
Humidity. Humidity.
Yeah.
Scouting. A lot of reconnaissance.
Wind speed, if that wasn't already said.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this, I know a lot of dumb snipers in Halo.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't
chart topographical maps while they're playing the game. Listen.
So did you guys want to answer the question on your current ranks?
I'm 8-2.
What am I?
Go ahead.
I'm Warrant Officer 3.
Same. I just got my Captain Grade 2 tonight.
Cool.
I'm a little more than halfway to Captain.
Chris? Or is he even there? Again. This has happened the last 3 times, where he just magically disappears or goes to sleep.
What's up, guys? I'm here. What's going on?
There he is. He's here.
Oh, Mr. Cool Guy. Too cool to talk to us.
I set the defib over that way.
It was very interesting to listen to your guys' conversation. You guys gave valid viewpoints on the Halo games.
Oh, come on!
Are you reading from a script? He's reading from something.
Yes, I know.
He was doing it sometimes. He's typing that up.
That reader or that listener described, You guys gave valid points on each of those views of his about the characters of
You know what that reminds me of? Spam that we get on our WordPress. It's exactly like what he's saying right now.
Except I'm saying it.
Have you been on someone's WordPress?
He's spamming us right now on the podcast.
Wow. CM Near, I used to think you were cool, but you're not.
I've been listening. You know, I've been an active listener, and, you know, I've been giving my viewpoint in my head.
Why haven't you been participating?
You haven't been speaking like the last three episodes.
He's busy procrastinating.
I'm shy.
You're a creeper.
Very quiet, you know. I'm like in my shell.
turtle.
I am the bat.
Where's Scarecrow?
Ribbit.
Ribbit. Not this again.
So how about those stereotypes?
Oh, yeah, I love stereotypes.
I tell you, man, if I'm white, I'm definitely have no personality.
You know,
and I'm so boring. I'm trying to figure out what this guy is. What's his ethnicity?
Well, knowing our demographic, probably 13-year-old white kid from
yeah, yeah. No, I think he's like 15.
It's not funny until you realize, you know, just how small our listener base really is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's been around for a while though.
Yeah, but we've gone through so many changes and lost so many people. Like, our demographic used to be, like, the target audience was, like, 20 years of age, and it's, like, declined to 15.
Yeah, we've, like, dropped 10 years from our target demographic.
I think ours has just always been 12.
We've got a lot of...
Well, look at what kind of audience you're attracting. I mean, no offense, but...
Well, I know I was boosting that demographic average up.
Because you're just old, Keith. Let's just leave it at that.
Dude.
Just old.
Were you, Dustin or Brent, here back in, like, 2006?
I don't think Dustin was, but I've been
I was actually years. Listening. I was listening.
So, Brent, you were?
I got the podcast in... I actually heard about it back in 2005 when it was starting up, but I hadn't listened to it. And I finally, in May of 2006, I downloaded the podcast and listened to about the first 60 episodes while I was on a family vacation in Africa. And then I signed up for the forums. So I've been around since then, yeah.
I don't know why when you said Africa, like, welcome to Land Down Under started playing in my head. Because that's the wrong
call. That's not Africa, I'm about to say.
I hope you know Chris is totally envious of you now. Only if you saw a lion. Did you see a lion?
Yeah, we saw plenty of lions.
Oh, yep. Chris is totally envious of you now. His life stream is to see a lion in the wild.
No wonder you're so excited about the...
Yeah, it's going to be great. Anyway.
He doesn't even care about the operating system. He just wants it to be called lion.
It's called lion.
That's all he cares about.
Anyways, we're getting off topic. Brent, how long have you been on Podtacular?
Since 2006.
Huh.
I think I hosted my first show on in 2006.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So. Yeah, I know it was 2006 because I recorded on 6/6 of 06.
I don't know who was.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I remember.
That's when my girlfriend got her license.
No, it was episode 6.
But that doesn't matter.
I think it was 166. On 6/6 of 06, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking this up
Let me go look it up.
I'm looking this up right now.
But I'm that's not the date it went out, but we recorded on 6/6/6. I remember that day. I felt bad. I'm like, man.
Do you remember what you had to eat that day?
Sucky day to join up, you know?
The hell of a day.
Anyone think the world was going to end on that day, or a bunch of people?
Yeah, like a lot of people were trying to delay their births so they wouldn't have their kid.
No, you weren't on that one, because that was KBC and Lil Kook.
Let me see which one. It might have been 66, actually.
I remember back in 2006, early 2006, my friend Ryan, we were just starting Halo 2 Tricks, and he emailed Podtacular saying, oh, can we be on the show? And we got denied.
Wait, you got denied for what?
Getting on the show, being a guest on the show. We just got flat out denied. Ryan emailed Podtacular. I don't know who he emailed specifically, but...
JVB.
He has the email somewhere.
Ooh.
You were popular back then.
Bad blood. Like
100 subscribers.
This whole thing was just a big revenge scheme, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you guys, wait. You're letting us on our show, on your show. Oh, I'm sorry. I already...
Brent, episode 86.
Okay, I knew it had a 6 on it.
October 23rd, 2006.
Yep.
That was probably before we contacted Podtacular, so... The revenge isn't meant for you.
Oh, wait, no. Episode 66, you were on.
I told you.
Which was posted June 11th, 2006.
6-6 of 06.
Herpaderp.
A day that will live in infamy is the day that Brent hosted his first podcast.
What was
and totally
first
not
the day
of feast.
Oh, that I remember my first one. It was 152.
Oh, yeah?
It was one of the very last shows. It was the first one that Fumo announced that they were stopping the show.
Why did they stop the show?
Life.
Started all this.
Life? Who needs that?
Now they do like 30 other podcasts.
JVB does. Fumo doesn't.
JVB is like man of many podcasts.
Yeah, he is.
Why don't they just do this one? And why did they? That makes no sense. That's weird.
They got into more gaming. But JVB did it.
Yeah, general gaming.
He's general gaming. He's got, you know, everything. He's got, you know, every console.
He does like 3 different podcasts.
I think he does more than that now.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know who that is.
Well, I know he's got like these side projects.
JVB was one of our older co-hosts.
I talk to him regularly. He's, I've seen him several times too. We're both old men. All old people know each other. And if you're Avatar people, you know what I'm talking about.
There's no old country for old men.
Yeah.
All old people know each other.
I love that in the show. You don't know what you're just talking about. Don't laugh.
We are the Order of the White Lotus of the Halo
game. Oh, yeah.
Chris, you didn't get that far into Avatar.
Play all the time.
What's that?
Pie Show.
What was that game? Pie Show. There you go.
Pie Show. Yeah. We play Pie Show pretty often. And, Louis Wu and JVB and another guy, Miguel Chavez. I'm going to give you guys shout outs right now. We all met at the Halo Reach the launch party in Manhattan. A bunch of old people.
Oh, cool.
It was really, we were just like, we're so old. Jaded. we just kept.
Yeah, I remember you guys were tweeting about it a lot.
Yeah, we were just like, this is ridiculous that we all were able to meet at one place.
Yeah.
We were like old fans from Halo started. It was really, needless to say, I definitely had a few from the bar.
A few?
Yeah, a few.
I still remember Liz was so excited when she got an autograph by Marty.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it's Marty. I would hope so.
Well, no, she was never really into Halo, and here all of a sudden she's like, about getting a signature, even though she just started getting into Halo recently.
Is that the noise she made?
Does she like the music?
Yeah, she does.
The music's awesome.
She had never listened to it before she met me, so, you know, I just opened her eyes to the world of everything.
My wife loves
it. Her life would be an empty shell right now if it wasn't for you.
Yeah, and she's not here, so I can say it. Yeah.
She's going
to
listen to this.
Yeah, to it later.
She's not going to listen to this.
She loves you. She's going to listen to this. That's why she was excited to get Marty's autograph, because it was
not,
the one who didn't have
yet. If not, I'll tweet it to her. How about that?
I can tell you right now, my wife will not listen to this.
Really?
No.
That's probably a good thing, because you made one
of
those
references. Well, that fits our demographic, so... Yeah.
The Real Housewives of Podtacular.com.
Oh, jeez.
I'll tell you this. I'm only the reason why I'm on a show now is so that I don't have to listen to it anymore. I'm part of it.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. thing.
You just need to crop that out right now and get that up on Twitter, Dustin. Just take that entire little segment. Get it out there.
Yeah.
To the public.
I don't think I can crop it out mid-recording.
I love Podtacular.
Podtacular. Podtacular.
I've been a fan since forever.
I was a fan until I denied.
I don't know. That's a weird video.
You know what's probably a little rough, actually? Before Bungie had their own podcast, Podtacular was the, I would say, probably the number one podcast downloaded from iTunes before Bungie had their own podcast. Yeah, you guys were really up there.
But that was back before podcasting got big. Like, that was before anybody knew what in the hell a podcast was.
We were voted best.
So I still had to explain to people, what's podcast? Well, it's kind of like an internet radio show. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you say podcast, everyone knows what you're talking about.
What station are you on? The internet.
Well, it's so easy to do now.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons why I think we have a hard time of getting new.
Well, it wasn't that it was harder back then. It was still just obscure. It's like no one had ever heard of it. But now that it got picked up by huge companies like, I mean, Rooster Teeth, Bungie, and even I'm trying to think of some other.
But the thing is, we don't get a good amount of listeners unless we get big people like Bernion. Like, we had 67 people listening live to that show because it was Bernion.
About how we sucked.
You should post it to the Bungie blog.
Remember that?
I mean, that would help.
They didn't even
We've submitted it quite a few times though, and they don't post it.
Yeah.
Like, they may do it a few times, but
they don't post my tricks either. I get denied everywhere.
Well, they
posted
told
your
you
first
why.
One.
Irk told them
no,
why.
They didn't.
I thought they did.
That was HBO. That's not Bungie.
They're not posting. You send news to them. They don't post.
No, they don't post tricks. My tricks.
Well, Irk,
you send it to them.
They can't.
Oh, they can't.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that they
can't.
Wait,
they can't. That's right.
I don't think it has something to do with can. They just don't want to type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what?
Because it shows how to do the exploits. Irk told them, we're not supposed to post that or something.
Nothing against CM Near.
No, just tricking it. They don't post videos of that.
Well, they
like
post
showing
Prima Cinema.
Yeah.
What?
Well, they post even Prima. People that are banned. They're still posting Brian Simon stuff.
Yeah.
I think for us, HBO is a much better channel to approach.
They're more lenient, and they post a lot of stuff. Yeah, I like HBO.
HBO will do almost everything you send at them because they don't have
just everything related to Halo.
They're not Bungie. They're going to post everything. They're just not Bungie. Bungie has to regulate. They have to be covered more, especially with their. You know what it is? Actually, you know that little blurb before you put the game on says online play varies.
Not rated by ESRB. Yeah.
All that stuff. They're tied to a lot of things like that, so they're not held accountable. They're gonna definitely be picky on what they put on their on the Bungie blog or comp chatter.
That makes sense. Okay, well, let's get back on topic here.
Woo!
So how about that weather, man? It's starting to get really cold outside. Starting to feel
not
like
not the
fall.
Topic I was thinking of.
I live in Florida. That's a horrible topic change.
Brent, it's your turn.
Oh yeah, it is my turn. Let's read another one of these. Are we on Daftlink?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I pissed off Daftlink when we were playing today in matchmaking because I yelled at him. He grabbed a DMR instead of a flag on one flag on Boardwalk, and like it was the last 2 seconds of the game, and instead of going into sudden death. He had a DMR in his hand. So,
well, I don't know if you can blame him about that because I've tried to pick up addictives before and it had me pick up the weapon instead, which is really.
I always jump a little when I'm at the flag, you know, because the flag is high.
Right.
But you have to be standing on the weapon to pick it up.
But you would think an objective pickup would override a weapon pickup.
Yeah, it needs to. We did that with actually Daftlink tricked somebody. Like that today by putting the ghost on the flag on Hemorrhage. It was one flag on Hemorrhage.
Yeah.
He just put the ghost there where the flag was, and instead of picking up the flag, dude got in the ghost and splattered me. It's pretty great. They didn't score, but Anyway, Daflink I-17 says, "Hey, PodTac, Daflink here. I finished the campaign on Solo Legendary about a week ago and thought it was superb. Although not compelling as the story with MC and Cortana, I liked Reach's story and thought it felt more dire than the former. I would say that this campaign is just about as hard as CE's, maybe a little more. Anyway, it certainly felt very polished and the environments were breathtaking. On a side note, Cat got back, Halsey is a female dog, and Buck's cameo was cool, though brief. Keep on fragging the coveys and the horde. Signed, Daflink I-17.
With the horde?
Well said.
For the horde.
I don't know, I still think Halo CE... I don't know, ranked in difficulty, I think Halo CE and Halo 2 are still kind of up there. In terms of difficulty. Halo 3 is definitely...
The library? Remember the library?
Oh, gosh.
You remember the library, don't you?
Oh, yes, I remember the library.
The library?
Very distinctly.
So is Solo Legendary on in Reach? Is it really hard, or...?
No.
It, well, you have to be really patient.
Yeah. It took me 10 hours to beat it.
Oh, okay.
Where for something like Halo 1 or Halo 2, it takes me like at least 14 hours.
The library was one of the like the scariest levels.
I've started, whenever I go back and play it, I speedrun it now because it's just annoying.
Yeah. God, I was 11 back then when I was playing that. It was just, it was just so creepy. All those little guys popping at you in the corners and in the dark.
And then you have one of the floods run up to you with a shotgun and just shoot you.
Yeah, and that freaking music in the background just made it even worse.
That's the thing I like the least about the flood, is that music.
Music.
I don't like the creepy music.
I definitely disagree, though, that the Reach campaign is harder than CE's. I think Halo 1 and Halo 2 are up there for difficulty.
I thought Halo 2 was legendary, was ridiculously hard.
Yeah, I would say, if I were to put it in order, I would say Halo 2, Halo 1, Halo Reach, ODST, and Halo 3. Halo 3's legendary was a joke. Except for the last level.
Cooperative, too. And
you're a joke.
Like they didn't scale it online.
They didn't scale it in
No, I'm talking about like if you just did solo.
Right.
Never did solo.
Me neither.
That's why I never finished Halo 2, because no co-op. I got bored.
There's local co-op.
Yeah.
I played that by myself. Halo 2.
No, I played all the Halo games by myself.
I did until Halo 3. And then I never did it again.
I can't handle that creepy music by myself, man. I just gotta turn the game.
Does it give you bad dreams at night?
It gives me bad dreams while I'm awake.
Okay, Chris or Midget, you guys got the next one.
Dibs.
Not it.
Wait, oh god, is it a long one?
No, it's not that long.
Noob Smashers?
No, Arrowhead.
Oh, okay.
It's not that long. We've had worse. A lot worse.
Everyone ready?
Yep.
Hi, PodTac. Has anybody else noticed that the campaign contains a lot of references to the previous Halo games? For example, on the level Long Night of Solace, the first chapter is First Floor, Aliens, Beaches, Secret Launch Facility. Clearly a reference to the Halo CE level, The Library, which contains the chapter Fourth Floor, Tools, Guns, Keys to Super Weapons. Also, the last chapter of Long Night of Solace is And the Horse You Rode In On, which is exactly the same as the first chapter of the Halo CE level, The Maw. Even the achievements are almost all references to the previous Halo games. For example, the achievement for finishing Long Night of Solace is You Flew Pretty Good, a reference to Johnson's comment in the ending cutscene of the Halo 2 level, Cairo Station. Also, the achievement for killing the zealot on the tip of the beer. What? Okay. Is your heresy will stay your feet. An exact quote from the Prophet of Truth during the Arbiter's Punish. Tip of the beer. Okay.
Wow.
You just slip that in there, completely serious, and then tip of the beer.
That's amazing.
Okay. I'm going to keep reading. There are a lot more examples that I don't have room to get in. That just threw me off, man.
That was all in post-production, guys. I'm sorry. That was in editing. He spelt spear wrong, so I just changed it to beer because I thought it was funny.
Really?
Yes. I'm sorry.
It worked.
Oh, that's great.
Good okay. job. I'm going to try to finish this now.
Okay.
There are a lot more examples that I don't have
beer!
Room to... Damn it!
Flies out of his body. Beer! The sound okay. of your buddies.
Roger Clemens makes me happy.
Sorry for the long submission. You didn't read the last one. Keep fragging noobs who don't spell check or grammar check their submissions and force Brent to edit them. Yeah.
There you
oh,
go.
Wow. Thanks,
wait,
Brent.
Wait. And Brent just said he had to edit yours.
Well, I mean, it was a cool edit, so it was all good.
Hey, noob, you just got fragged.
Actually, well, we changed this guy's gamer tag to Captain Obvious.
Oh my god, I hope I didn't scratch my Halo Reach disc because I pounded my desk and the game is in there playing right now and my Xbox is on it.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed at you, Arrowhead. Okay.
Captain Obvious pointed out the fact that the levels are similar.
Yeah. Everyone should have noticed that, though.
There's still a PS.
If you're a true Halo fan, you know.
It's Bungie's homage to Halo. I mean, seriously? They're going to have that in there. They're going to have those references.
The whole game is doing anniversary. Throughout the entire game. That's the point of the anniversary.
So they're just nostalgic, you know. It's an anniversary. You know, all the memories and all the stuff that's happening. It's all coming to an end, you know. That's a pretty sad time, you know. So all those memories, it's like it's almost a 10-year anniversary. Well, it's 9, but it's almost 10.
It's almost 10, yeah.
Dude. His PS is hilarious.
Yeah, still one more year left.
It's PS. Do I get some kind of medal for spell checking my submission? Spelling spree would be nice.
Spelling spree.
I think I deserve a medal for best edit ever.
I think you do.
No, I think you get a gold medal.
Tip of the beer.
Editing spree.
Spelling spree.
Edit
submission.
Freaking believable.
Edit 10 and Eminem.
Necronomicon.
Next one we have is from Noob Smasher for Chris.
What's going down, Potak? It's the one, the only Smasher of Noobs. For my campaign submission, I would just like to know something. Does June?
Really?
June? What?
June.
It's June.
Is it June?
Is it June or June? June.
Well, they say in the game, or at least from what I've heard in the dialogue, it's June.
Yeah, I paid attention. Does June, the sniper of Noble Team, even die in the campaign? I only remember Carter ramming into something. Cat gets shot in the head. Stupid death, if you ask me. Emily gets stabbed with an energy sword.
I know. Emily is definitely wrong.
Good stuff.
Emil gets stabbed with an energy sword. We all know how Six died. And Jorge, or George, blows up, so how did June die? Keep on fragging trucks.
Well, we didn't see him die, and that's been the whole debate. So we're not exactly sure. Unless I'm sure the Ascended Justice guys probably know by now.
He's MIA.
He just disappears, really?
Well, there's no record.
He gets on the thing with Halsey on the Pelican, and that's it.
Well, you know what? If it looks like... So he was with Halsey. So Halsey's presumed dead.
Yeah.
Halsey presumed dead because she's not a Spartan. But, so a lot of the other Spartans on Reach, supposedly, are, or at least, you know, how they're listed is MIA. All the Spartans who took place on the Battle, you know, Reach.
Were all declared MIA.
Almost all of them are declared MIA.
I don't think the ruse holds up. If all of the Spartans are missing in action, you'd think people would kind of get wary of that after all. You know, like, wait a minute, all of these Spartans are just missing in action.
Who's
the
checking
planet
my list?
Is burning.
Where are they going?
They're going to space Hawaii.
Well, you know, after Reach, probably, the whole you know, how Oni reports to whether you know, over the news,
yeah,
you know, to rally the troops. After that, I think all bets are off. Now it's just like, just everybody try to live. They don't no longer say, oh, Spartans are dead. Definitely all Spartans are dead.
Every man for himself.
Master Chief's probably the only one. Like, remember in Halo 3, like, when some of the Marines were like, oh, my God, it's a Spartan. Remember some of the Marines when he was walking by? And like, it's a Spartan.
Hey, it's a Spartan.
It's a Spartan.
I want to get a t-shirt that says Oni fixed it. It's just got, like, the Oni symbol on the back.
You know what? That's what we should call the episode. Oni fixed.
Oh, no, I like the Remember Reach one.
It has, it's more somber.
It hasn't, yeah.
Even though the show is anything but, you know, we're not exactly the most serious show on the internet.
No.
We're very serious, so I don't know what you're talking about.
The internet's serious business, dude.
This is a business.
I'm going to call you Captain Obvious.
Okay, the next one is from Sir Ponage. He writes in, yo, this is my first post. For starter, Dusty sucks for declining my Xbox friend invite. I'm just joking.
He's really not.
I don't know. I usually don't accept random friend requests, so if I didn't play with you in a game or something.
Well, I'm just joking. It's like saying, no offense.
Yeah, I know it. I'm just joking.
No offense.
I'm saying as a retort, I don't usually accept random friend requests that I just get, like, randomly. Like, I turn on my Xbox and there's a friend request there. And if I don't recognize it from, like, a game I've played before, or recognize it from, like, the Podtac community or something, I generally don't accept those. So, maybe next time I pinned a voice message to it saying, hey, I'm from Podtacular, blah, blah, blah.
I only accept random friend requests if they also send along a voice recording confirming that they're female.
Yes, that's a big...
Yeah, email. <that's... laughs>
Actually, any friends request, they should have a message attached to it.
Yeah, like with the Kinect camera, so that I'll get, you know, pictures of naked guys all the time. It's going to be awesome.
Not that kind of
thing. It's the new
Here's
chat.
My accept my friend request.
Yeah, so shave my pubes into your name. It's for you.
Really, I don't get many.
Actually, if they shave my name into their pubes, I would definitely put them on my friends
list. I would have to, yes.
Funny as hell.
Yes.
You go show it to everyone. Dude, this guy shaved my name in his pubes, man.
Property of Michael Brent Horsley.
Look, it has a little tag.
Oh, yes, gosh.
That'll be an instant friend.
Instant friend.
Instant creepy friend.
Friend request accepted, didn't
he? Yeah, but only on Xbox Live. You won't want to meet that person in person.
Meet me, I want to show you. I want to show you my tattoo.
This going south, the podcast's going south.
Back we were just talking about friend requests. We're on topic. We're talking about wrote in about.
Yeah.
Hey, wrote in about.
This is how Podtacular operates, anyways. Don't mess with our groove, man. Don't mess
under
with our
the
groove.
Radar.
Yeah, right.
Hi, Dad.
He goes on to say, I'll start by saying that I think that the reason that. Holy crap, that's a lot of that's. Bungie made the Spartan 3s in this game less likable is because when they go MIA. Fans would have been like, this sucks.
That is such bull. We made our characters intentionally suck so that you wouldn't get emotionally attached to
them. Yeah, it's not,
we didn't want you to hurt when they died, you know?
Yeah, that's stupid.
What if they do that in all movies? I like that friggin' Frodo guy too much, man. Ugh. It's too sad when he goes away on that
yeah,
ship.
Yeah, Renee Zellweger. Yeah.
Wow.
See, they had a good balance in the Sixth Sense. Bruce Willis, man. You didn't like that guy at all.
Yeah. Turns out he was a ghost the whole time. Unbelievable.
Then he became unbreakable.
What a twist.
Do you?
What a twist.
Okay, he goes on to say, secondly, I think that Emil, George, maybe, and Carter would have survived. I'll start with George. Wait, okay, this is... Wow. Okay, we all know that the Covenant have precise slipstream jumping. How do we know that George wasn't sent to a human colony world from there? He could have made it okay back to Earth.
It blew up.
Well, no, the way it blew up was they did a They basically just made a small slipstream.
An unmounted, faster-than-light travel.
Oh, that it's not drive. The Covenant's slipstream jumping, though, is it? It's the humans.
No. Yeah, it's the humans. But it basically, whatever was in that bubble was put into slipspace. The only thing is, without an exit trajectory, like I'm assuming they probably didn't program an exit trajectory in there, they could probably stay in slipstream.
That's a good point, actually.
For
good point. It was meant to just, it wasn't meant to go to a destination. Maybe it could be random. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, I think there's something with slipstream where if you're in it for long enough, things start to degrade. Like I'm assuming when the slipspace engine finally starts to die off, it may exit slipstream, which in fact, if it does do that, maybe he survives. But if not, things start to deteriorate.
And this is where the, Star Trek science starts to pop in here, which is also part of the Halo world, but I read something today that actually was just something I didn't think about. So remember when George takes his helmet off? He throws it on the ground? So say they did the slipspace thing and he never put his helmet back on. So when he gets wherever he was transported to, and he doesn't have his helmet on, and he's actually going to be in the middle of space.
He's still inside the ship.
What? But the ship's going to be...
Yeah, the ship's cut, in half.
Messed up.
Like, yeah, it's all messed up. There's going to be no kind of support.
No atmospheric controls in there.
Yeah. So
well,
it's going to be a mess on the other end.
Well, there could have been enough residual power left to the shields. And if the shields are... If the shields on there are a separate system, then there would have been enough time for him to...
But how do we know that part didn't explode, too? Because why would the two outer parts randomly explode when that
See,
was taken
this is
out,
like a 3-4...
Go ahead.
This is like a 3-4-3-I, storyboard meeting. We're figuring out how we can retcon George back into the cannon.
There you go.
Wait a minute. What if he didn't have his helmet on... Yeah. And now he teleported back to Hawaii in 1973? Right. Well,
what we're talking about is things that Bungie probably didn't think about or think it would come up that much.
Turns out he's Tom Selleck the whole time. He's just Magnum PI.
My feeling is Bungie wanted him to be dead, so he's dead.
He's Starsky.
Yeah. Or Owen Wilson. Ugh.
Anyways, going on. Next Emil.
That's how he broke his nose.
Emil.
He says, really, come on, John 117 was stabbed. How do we know Emil was not just acting dead so that he could...
Oh, God.
You gotta be kidding me.
Emil is dead, dude.
When you're being cut right through the chest...
It's okay, I'm not really dead, dude. I was just faking it.
What burden would he be? He'd be watching his back. Six needed him still. when Six is being killed by those six elites, he's just over there playing possum. Are you pretending too? Are you pretending? I'll pretend with you.
Are they gone yet?
You're really good at pretending. Hello?
What's that giant, laser beam thing up in the sky? What's that dang doing?
Huh? Oh, it's so pretty.
He gets glassed.
Is it pretending?
Does it know I'm dead?
He really
Not really.
Likes Emil. Or Emily.
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 Yeah, Emily.
That'd be really funny if it really turned out to be a chick.
That would be so awkward.
Straight back in
space.
Be like a Metroid pulling off the helmet. The chick.
Yeah.
Be like Red versus Blue when Tex took off her helmet.
Oh yes, that's great.
Because it had a man voice before.
Or when it broke, yeah.
Yep.
Let's see. He said it goes on to say. Lastly, Carter. So all of a sudden, humans lost ejection sheets. It's a freaking pelican. It's a transport ship. You're not going to have an ejection seat in a transport ship.
For the pilot, maybe.
Well, you know what?
I don't know. For Pelicans, it doesn't seem to fit. For
even so, he had a lot of holes in him. I mean, he
was already
dead.
Dying. He was already
dead. He was already dead.
He says, you don't want to know. He was like...
That's the reason he made the sacrifice, is because he knew he was dying.
He didn't commit suicide. Yeah. He was already dying. It's like Dumbledore, man. Dumbledore was dying from his hand, so he had Snape kill him. Oh, shit. That movie didn't come out yet. Okay, oh. That didn't happen. But it could have.
You know what did happen?
Snape killed Dumbledore.
Gay.
That did happen.
For real.
I was so shocked. Oh, Halo. Oh, yeah. Whatever. Halo. Oh, Carter. Oh, who gives a... Carter's a douche. Who cares? I hope Carter. He is alive, just so we can go die again.
I still like when he tells off Halsey, though. That makes me happy.
Yeah, that was
the a whole nice reason exchange. He was born. He did give a little bit of the back smack.
That was nice to see, though. Let's see. He goes on to say, on the bright side, Reach was awesome, although the Winter Contingency would have been a lot better. Really, Juna is all like, oh my gosh, something's on my thermal, and you're all hyped up, and then there's just four grunts in the field. It's not even shocking. Right? He's talking about, like, the first part where you're shooting the jackals and the grunts.
All right.
Well, no, it's shocking because the Covenant's on Reach. They weren't there checking out in the Winter Contingency. They were checking out insurrectionists, they thought.
Yeah.
So John was just like, and everybody was just like, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, it's Covenant. That's not good.
Yeah.
He says, oh, well, this is Sir Ponage signing off. Keep on fragging noobs who think that the Spartan laser sucks because they pull RT.
Right trigger.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't fire. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like the line where Jude's like, thermal's clean even though you see the jackal running through the roof. And I killed the jackal once. I got a headshot on the guy. It's like, how do you not see that?
Well, that was clean. You killed him.
How do you not?
A sniper. He's supposed to have, like, super sharp eyesight. He's a Spartan sniper.
And he's up in a falcon. Are jackals cold-blooded or something?
Maybe.
They could be. Well, no, they appear on your right. I don't know. Thermal.
That's motion.
I don't know.
That's motion.
Did they
it's
have thermal
a motion
in ODST?
It's not thermal.
Yeah, I corrected myself. Did they have thermal in ODST, though? In that ODST helmet?
No, that wasn't thermal. That was more like...
I don't know what the hell I'm thinking about. Some game I played had thermal.
Call of Duty.
NFL?
Okay, yeah, that would probably be it.
Splinter Cell had the most amazing thermal. So.
I've played that. Yeah, that could be it too.
Okay, who wants to read the last one?
That wasn't the last one?
No, there's one more.
We got one more. Refresh your show notes.
Oh, refresh. There it is.
Someone? Go.
Okay.
Long pause. Yeah. Long pause.
Mighty Bob says, I played Reach at a friend's place. It was... quote, I'm not even kidding, one long orgasm in video game form. It made me happy in every way possible. The graphics, gameplay, Halo 1 pistol, almost, all combined to make a ridiculously good game. If Bungie were a person, I would hug them and kiss them. I'll go on now, and I found the sniper to be beautiful as well. It made headshots easier to achieve. Thank you, Bungie. And Brent, I love you with all my heart and most of my spleen. Keep up the delicious show.
So did you edit that last part?
Is that your secret admirer or something?
Maybe. I love all of my fans, all two of them that I know of.
It's too bad it's the Almighty Bob.
I'd be insulted that not all he's not loving you with all of his spleen. Just love
no, him. I'm just happy to have any fans at all. Like, go me.
Come yay. On,
sir, you deserve a whole spleen.
What if he lost some of his spleen and that's all he has?
Would he donate his spleen to me if I needed it? I don't know why I would need
most it. Most of it.
We need that information.
Would he donate part of his spleen to me?
I think most of it.
Or a kidney, it maybe? I'll take a kidney.
I'll take one. Sell it.
Keith probably needs one more than I do.
I need kidneys.
I need a new liver. Immediately.
I need organ donors.
I love that.
It'd be nice to have a spare liver. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. Have, like, a spare liver
on hand.
You
know the party you were doing?
Oh, my God. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, a spare liver.
Like, toxicity would never matter ever again. Like, you'd be good to go.
Yeah, liver waiting. Recharge.
That'd be crazy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So that wraps it up for our campaign show.
Oh, yeah.
Shows. Sorry.
It's over.
It's over until we start doing the individual campaign.
levels.
Levels. Yeah, it's over.
Kind of needed to do that. That was kind of important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the last game with tying some loose ends and making some connections to the existing Halo universe. So I think it was kind of important that we kind of just do this overall one.
Everybody just played campaign 2. It's nice and fresh.
Yeah, everybody remembers it.
Everybody's got tons of questions too. Sometimes they get answered.
Yep.
But what better way?
Yeah. So for now, campaign is going to be put on the shelf, and we're going to pull out our matchmaking / multiplayer topics.
We're going to whip it out just for you, listeners.
We're probably going to go into much discussions about the weapons, about the maps, about layout, strategies, noobs, that kind of stuff.
Melee system.
Melee system.
Ooh, melee
system. I've got some things to say about the melee system.
The assist system. How it calculates assists.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't care about assists, though, except when I'm going for the challenge. Like, if I get an assist, whatever. Yeah, good to go me.
Right. But any last comments on the campaign before we wrap up this three-part series?
I liked it.
I think everyone liked it.
The guys at Shaq News didn't like it that much.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Not the gameplay. They didn't like the story. They don't like that it focuses on combat more than character development. That's basically what they said on the last Weekend Confirmed. I was listening to it right before we recorded. I thought it was pretty interesting hearing somebody that's not a huge Halo fan talk about the Halo Reach campaign, like, from their perspective. It's good stuff. Basically, what I got from it was that it's too combat-focused, and they don't like all of the sci-fi jargon and stuff, like the FTL stuff, the slipstream.
Oh, come on. It's sci-fi.
No, I mean, for real, though. For real. They went over that. They talked about it for a long time, and they made sense. I mean, they said that they preferred the Mass Effect style of sci-fi storytelling.
Okay, fair enough.
And I prefer that, too. I do. But I like Halo story still. I still enjoy it.
Halo just seems too short. Halo just seems... Go ahead, Keith.
It's part of what Brent said, though. Like, remember, they don't give you enough information in the game. So if you're not Halo fan, then you're gonna take. You're only gonna get, you know, some.
Yeah,
gonna look like just a bunch of combat to you.
The other thing is, Halo develops its story not necessarily in the game, but with the books and some of the other things.
Yeah, they also voice their, distaste for that too. Somebody wrote in said that. You know, the stories outside of the game are fine, but they kind of need it in the game to enjoy it. Like, they don't want to have to go and read all the damn books to know what's going on in Halo. They would like to just play the game and get at least most of the story. But to get most of the story with Halo, you kind of do have to read the books.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an entire universe that I guess a lot of people don't even know about with the books that play Halo.
Especially after Reach
there was
came.
Reach
really, like, was not... First of all, I mean, Reach is like they were promoting it from the beginning, like you know the end. But if you didn't read the book, or if you just played, even if you played just the other three games and the intro from the first game, from Halo CE, they don't talk about Reach. They don't talk about what happened.
Right.
So say you only played Halo 1, 2, 3, never read any of the book, didn't go online, talk about go to any Halopedia, anything, nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
You're going to be like, oh, Reach, like you're supposed to know the end, like then you're going to be completely foreign.
Well, even knowing the difference between what a Spartan 2 and a Spartan 3 is, those are massive differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, on different levels that a lot of people probably don't even realize.
Yeah.
They're probably like, oh, they're all Spartan 3s, or just, oh, they're all Spartans.
Nope, they're not. Not quite.
But yeah.
Well, thank you guys for coming on repeatedly to do these campaign videos, taking precious time out of your days.
I always have time to come on you repeatedly.
Indeed. So, doing the wrap up, send in your comments, questions, submissions to submissions@podtacular.com. Our show is community centered based on your submissions, so be sure to submit regularly. And watch podtacular.com for an invitation to submit stuff for next week's show, which is all multiplayer.
All multiplayer. Be sure to check out our website, podtacular.com, and while you're there, come drop us a line in the forums and get involved with our community.
Thanks to everyone that contributes to Podtacular by dedicating time to lead events, helping out with the bills, by donating through PayPal, following us on Twitter and Facebook, or subscribing to the show on iTunes and Zoom Marketplace.
Have we ever gotten a donation through PayPal?
A few times. Not many. The last one we got wasn't that much. I don't even remember. I know KBC. KBC.
You're only gonna send like $2.
I know KBC back in March donated $100.
We don't need your $15. Send us $1,000. What are you doing? Trying to shortchange me? I'm joking. Send all of your $10 bills to me. I accept them. But yeah, you need to donate because Dustin, he's basically footing the entire bill now. So
yeah,
it's about Dustin. Do it for Dustin.
Please help.
Dustin Foundation.
To the Dustin Needs Money Foundation.
As a listener, you may hate Brent, but do it for Dustin.
You write it off on your
they
taxes.
They don't hate you. They don't hate you. Why would they?
Do it for Dustin.
Yay, do it for me.
Drop an F-bomb. Fudge.
Fushing.
Fushizzle.
Fushizzle.
My nizzle.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Last Brad one. Albert all up in the sizzle. The last
one. Are we still recording?
I think so.
Yeah. I get the last one down there, Brent.
Oh, yeah. We got to get the last one. Check out the other shows on the GamerCast Network, Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, the GCN Video Game Show, Post Game Report, and Destructoid.
Yay.
Out of all of those, I recommend PGR the most. They're
PGR,
all
good,
but go listen to PGR. It's got a JVB on it.
Yeah. It's a pretty good one.
Good stuff.
I would agree.
Good stuff.
But yeah, Chris and Keith, we want to mention your websites as well.
Oh yeah.
TheRunningRiot.com coming at you.
When's your next show, by the way?
Sometime in 2011.
So you're
very,
not even
very early on, yeah. I'm gonna.
You're taking a big break.
Yes. 2011. I'm definitely. I'm already planning stuff now, but taking my time because there are daily challenges and weekly challenges to.
So that's why you want to come on the show so much because you're taking so much break off of your show.
I told you that.
Just making it apparent for the listeners, that's all.
Yes. No, it's I'm taking my time. I'm definitely getting old. And I want to do a 3.0 big launch of the show, and I want to make sure it's, you know, I've tested everything fully. I have to still test Forge and how studios are going to work in there. I haven't even touched that. I've heard things, but I want to really dive into it myself and see how it could be a part of the show. So I'm waiting to take some time to do that. So,
like actually playing on Forge or just forging things?
Well, no. Well, just as far as the tools in Forge, how would it make the studios? You would make the custom studios.
Okay.
For the show, and we still have the Forge studio contest that's hosted by Forge.com. So
yeah.
I want to relaunch that or launch that in with the I have to before I relaunch that contest I have to dig into Forge and see what
it's pretty amazing though I will say
people say you can whip up a studio like instant so
yeah it's really really simple
oh right. Yeah it's like idiot proof like I made a map like it's that easy
and I'm an idiot
like a decent one
that stuff too.
Yep.
So,
okay, Chris, what about you? You want to plug your stuff?
Oh, yeah, well, we're working on a new series. I don't know how much I can talk about it, because it's going to be Forge-based. We're going to do some other project that we have coming down the line. And, you know, we're working on a website, halocommunityhub.com, and it's still kind of in beta, but when we do a full release, we'll release a video on our channel. So you can go sign up there now if you want.
And that's about all I got to say.
Wow. I was expecting a different kind of reaction, but okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Like a ventriloquist, that was almost.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the three-part series campaign. This has been episode 238, and we will see you guys in about a week for the multiplayer stuff.